Welcome to episode 177 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. From the gentle surroundings of a bluebell woodland in last week's show, to an urban setting in the middle of a busy town, this week's edition really is, if nothing else, a great example of the diversity of work I undertake. When I recently heard that my good friend and musician, Tom Kent, was working in conjunction with Nissan and would be taking a look at one of their eco-friendly Leaf cars, it was almost inevitable that we would end up getting together for a photo shoot. On the day, things couldn't have gone better, right down to the weather. And in this episode, I'm sat in my office the day after, talking over the specifics as I look through the pictures. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 177. It's just after 11:30 in the morning, and I am in my office. I have in front of me my screen with Adobe Bridge, and I'm previewing some pictures which I shot yesterday morning. Now, for those of you that follow me on Twitter and Facebook and all this sort of thing, you will probably have seen the updates where I was talking about a shoot that I was doing with my good friend Tom Kent, who is a musician, and we were working in conjunction with Nissan Europe, or rather I should say Tom has been working in conjunction with them, and he asked me to get involved to do some photography. So what I have here is a selection of images featuring Tom and a bass guitar and an amp and a Nissan Leaf, which is one of their eco-friendly cars and their electric cars. And what I thought I'd do is just talk through a little bit about the process and what was involved. Now, we did along the way shoot some behind the scenes video, actually going to be a time lapse, I think. So that will be coming in the fullness of time. And of course, there will be updates along the way. So I haven't done any editing and I don't have time to do any editing today. I'm just literally having a look through the content that I produced or that we produced. And then in the next day or two, when I do have a moment, I will be beginning the editing process. So in front of me, I have 80 photographs and they're all raw files. And they're all shot on a Nikon D810, which regular listeners will know is a camera which has been on test review recently. And at the time of recording, I have that for one more day, and then it has to be sent back to Nikon tomorrow. So the pictures start off with some general sort of general location shots, just getting a sense of which is the best angle for the car with the location. It's a striking black car. We had, Tom had the car washed and valeted just before the shoot. And the location was actually at an old fort. And so you've got this lovely, rich kind of red brickwork, a little bit of graffiti and a little bit of overgrown greenery at the side of a sort of a dirt, not a dirt track, but a slightly unmade road. So you've got that real contrast between the natural elements, the bright colour of the graffiti, all that sort of softness around sort of the brickwork is obviously quite bold and angular, but you've got the softness of the foliage there, and then of course the sharp lines, the striking black with the sort of the silver rims of this this car. So I started off ISO 100, f5 and a 60th of a second, just getting my bearings, seeing sort of what was going on with the appearance of the car and the location, thinking about how we might position that and then Tom. I immediately started shooting at f16, just to get, you know, front to back sharpness. The lens actually was a 35mm f1.8 Nikkor lens, which is one of my favourites. Really sharp prime lens. For those who don't know, prime lens is one where you don't vary the focal length. It is stuck at 35mm. in this instance. So I moved around a little bit. Tom, as I can see in the pictures, Tom was just checking his phone or getting a few things out the back of the car, the boot here. Not really sort of posing anything at this stage. We had the boot up and the door open. Just getting a sense of, like I say, how wide I wanted to go on the shots. Also thinking about where the lighting would be positioned. I'll talk about that in a moment. Thinking about where the behind the scenes cameras were going to be. So in this instance, I had my own Nikon D800 set to interval timer. So it took a shot. I think I had it set up to take a shot every 45 seconds. And then that meant that that was rolling in the background. I didn't have to worry about it. The next thing I did was to get Tom to stand in the foreground, no guitar or anything, just to get a sense of the scale between him, the car, the background, how it's all looking. We were very lucky in that rain had been forecast, I believe, somewhere sort of in that morning, sort of the night before that the forecast had been for rain. But by the time we got there, and this was around about 11:30 or quarter to 12, something like that in the morning. And it was just really bright sunshine. And of course, when you're dealing with bright sunshine and you're thinking about working with flash, the flash has to be bright enough to either overpower or to match the daylight, whatever you're choosing to shoot. Like I say, I'll come to the lighting in a moment. But for now, I'm just looking at the way that Tom is positioned, thinking about the car, doing a couple of lighting tests as well. I really wasn't... It's one of those things that I'm always wary of people, or musicians rather, a bit like those old music videos of the 80s and 90s where people are sort of in the middle of a field or down by the beach or in a gnarly old industrial setting with their guitar seemingly playing an amazing riff or something, but it's very clear that the guitar isn't plugged in and obviously they're miming and all the rest of it. So I didn't want Tom stood there striking a big sort of guitarist pose and you know, it's very obvious that it doesn't look right. But equally, I wanted this reference of him with his guitar, thinking about how we can work the car into it. The initial idea had him sort of just perched just on the very back by the boots, just kind of doing something along those lines. As I'll talk about maybe in a moment, we actually decided not to do that in the end. So the next shot, I got the lighting balance. From memory, it was, let's have a look here, at f16, shooting f16, an 80th of a second, around about ISO 400 on this occasion. The lighting balanced out quite well. So it was, I believe, set to full power, 1:1 ratio. So that means that the light coming out of the flash guns was the same as the daylight. The flash guns on this occasion were just very small and light, Nikon SB800 guns set up with pocket wizards, so that I have remote wireless triggers. So the moment that I press the shutter release, the flash guns go off. I had one, as we look at the scene and as we look at Tom, I had one camera right, which was almost at directly opposite the sun, so it was basically filling in the right hand side as we look at the frame. I had another one also sort of going back just to catch his right shoulder, so his left shoulder as we look at it as well. I actually ended up ditching that in the end because it really wasn't making that much of a difference. The sun was round enough that it acted as that second light. Don't forget, if you're really heavily into your lighting and strobist sort of stuff, you've got a massive great light already that nature has provided. Just use it and make the most of it. So initial shots, Tom stood there with his guitar, not not posing like he's playing, just holding it, that sort of thing. Brought his amp out of the car. For those of you that don't know this, I should probably clarify, and I'm sure many, many, if not all of you do know this, but when I refer to the boot of a car, I know there's a big following in the States. You guys refer to it as the trunk. And I dare say in other countries, do you guys call it the trunk rather than a boot? I don't know of any other country that refers to it as the boot. Anyway, so we got the amp out of there and we placed it just in front of the corner of the car, just in the background there. The lighting pretty much stayed the same, but I got Tom to move sort of a couple of steps forward, and I moved around a little bit, just trying to get the angle with the car. You've obviously got the Nissan badge on the front there, being very aware of reflections because it was a highly polished black car. That actually worked sort of okay. Reference to the graffiti, so you've kind of got this slightly urban. You got the urban reference with the natural, with the grass and stuff on the ground there. That was okay. Kind of liked it. The with a lot of these shoots, you know, you just have to start working. Whoever your subject is, you just work through it. You do a few shots. You don't often get the shot you want to begin with. It's just a case of making the subject feel relaxed, working together, making sure that everyone's happy with the way everything is set up. And regular listeners, again, will know that I've worked with Tom for quite a few years now. I've known him for quite a few years. And so we kind of know what we're after, how it's working, all the rest of it. So that was kind of good. But it just wasn't... I'm just looking at this picture now, just like really just reflecting on the shots that I was happy with latterly, and also these, you know, what we were aiming to do. The picture is too static. It's almost too staged in that Tom's just stood there in the foreground, the car's in the background. There's just no... It's almost like there's no energy to it. And I think the problem with that was, or is, that the viewpoint, that the camera angle relative to Tom's height and the scale of the car in the background is all wrong. It's just, maybe if I'd thrown the car out of the background thrown the car out of focus in the background, that might change perspective on it a little bit and how we view the picture, but it just wasn't quite working. It was okay, but it's not the shot that I was after. And we were only really looking to make this one shot, really, or a selection of maybe two or three shots that we liked. And we thought, you know what, that's the best of the bunch. So then what I did is I got Tom to sit down on his amp where it had been, just in front of the car. So you get a closer crop. I'm that much slightly lower down, not exactly at his level, because then that would have meant that he would be sort of, even though he's sitting down, he would have been almost sort of towering above the top of the car. But it's a slightly tighter crop. It's a tidier crop. He's got his bass on his lap. At this point, he's not actually playing. I mean, I did just say to him, look, just carry on as you are, just while I do these tests and what have you. And like with all musicians, I think you give them their instrument and they can't help but start tinkering and playing and all the rest of it. So I just got him to sit there. We kind of moved his arm around where his hand was, sort of on the neck of the guitar, where his other hand was resting on his knee, resting on the top of the body of the guitar. I got him sort of looking just off camera, looking towards the camera. The light was really, really, the sunlight was very bright, so very aware that I didn't want him squinting too much. The lighting, again, stayed much the same. I just moved it in a little bit just to fill in those shadows. And then I said to Tom, do you know what? Just start playing. And there's a sequence of shots here where I went in even closer. So there's two bits of graffiti. One was sort of pink and yellow and blue and what have you, and one was just black and white. And I just kind of I kind of kept the I kept the more colourful stuff out of frame just because of the way that it lined up. And I just let Tom play. At this point, I think I turned off the second flash, which really wasn't doing much anyway. So with that much lower, Tom sat there, he's playing. And I'm kind of almost directly in line with the front facing bumper, as we would call it, or fender for those of you in the States. And that was kind of working quite well. But then I was aware that it's a black car and the highlight is all on the foreground and with the sun and the flash. So I needed to do something about the detail with the car. By no means was it sort of disappearing. But I wanted to really bring out those really shiny rims on the back wheel there. So what I did, I moved that flash gun, which had been just out of use, and I fired it towards the ground with, I think the ratio was about half power, so it was a little bit weaker, and it just was enough to throw some light into the side of the car, into that rim, and it just made that rim stand out a little bit. There was no real colour cast from the ground. I didn't have any coloured gels on either of the flashes, and it just worked. It just brought out that detail there. These are just, like I say, the raw files, like a digital negative, something to begin with. So there's a bit of work to be done. There's a very small puddle in the foreground. I'm not too worried about that. It's a little bit patchy in the foreground. It's okay. It's kind of natural. Where there's a little bit of shadow, I can play with that a bit. And then, so that was okay. I got the scale okay. It was working all right. Tom's head was just a little bit above the line of the car. But then I moved around to be almost sort of moved around to kind of not face directly towards the side of the car, but just so you're getting less of the front of the car. So you got more of the profile, the shape, and that also brought in some of these doors that were set within the walls of the fort there. A little bit of graffiti, but it's that old sort of rusty kind of padlock kind of look as well. That was good. I kind of pulled back a little bit to bring in a bit more of that graffiti, and then a little bit more to bring in another door and all of that more colourful graffiti. But by that stage, what I was getting was some of the overgrown foreground, sort of like stinging nettles, grass, all that sort of thing. Didn't want it to be too much, but I thought whilst it's there, I'll just play with it. And what that does, it starts to frame Tom and the car, because you've almost got this sandwich between the overgrowth, the car in the middle and Tom, and then some like overgrowth, like creeper, kind of like ivy and this sort of stuff coming down from the top of the frame. There's also a nice incidental detail, which is some guttering, like for rain runoff and drain pipe. That's really, really nice. Nice archways above the doors. So I just started moving around a little bit. And then at this point, things were starting to happen. So I went in a bit closer again, cut out that foreground detail, just reworking the scene a little bit. But I changed the balance of the lighting. So if I just click on through, I wanted to throw the background out ever so slightly. So I went to F8, dropped the ambient light down by using a faster shutter speed. And so Tom is a bit brighter relative to the background, the car and the brickwork. So for those of you who don't know, when you're setting up flash, this is just my method. Every shoot that I do, every portrait that I do, especially if it's on location, I usually set whatever the lens and camera combination, I set the camera at an aperture of F8 and a shutter speed at an aperture of F8 and a shutter speed of 1/250th of a second. Now, very often, that means that the daylight is going to be too dark. Everything's going to be very dark. So what I do is I set the light up. I make sure that the light is correct for that f8 aperture, and that gives me enough depth of field and sharpness there. So I play around with the ratios on the flash gun itself. And once I'm happy with that, then I think about the background, the ambient light, and that is controlled with the shutter speed. Now, typically a 250th of a second is as fast as I need or want to go to. I can go faster with a hack that is available through the Nikon system. But the lower then that you drop the shutter speed, so from 250th down to 125th or 60th or 30th or what have you, the daylight, the ambient light, wherever it may be, starts to come in. So you start to get more information, more detail showing. And the one thing you have to bear in mind is having a fast enough shutter speed so that you don't get any movement or camera shake. Now, Tom was pretty static, but the rule of thumb here is, generally speaking, whatever the focal length of lens you're using, you shouldn't use a shutter speed that is lower than that, roughly speaking. And as your confidence and your ability grows, you can start to push it a little bit, and you'll know how far you can take it. So, for example, say I was using this 35mm lens, the lowest or slowest shutter speed that I would look to use would be around about a 30th of a second. I could go to a 15th if I was feeling that I was quite steady and there wasn't a lot of sort of wind buffeting me around and what have you. I could go to a 60th of a second just for a bit of extra reassurance. But on this occasion, I kept it at a 250th of a second, just playing around. I then got Tom to just put his hands over the body of the guitar just in front of him. That kind of looked too staged, so I got him to kind of move his hands around a little bit. But what's happening here with these pictures is I dropped my camera position a little bit and framed in so that the viewer is that much more engaged. There's not a lot of clutter and detail. So that was working quite well. Again, just looking here, ISO 200 now, 250th of a second at f8. Much the same. It's just a case of now that I was happy just kind of getting similar shots and what have you. Then I pulled out wider and we opened one of the doors, and we then opened the rear door as well. And so you've got the foliage again in the foreground, a wider shot. There's no reference for the flashlights because they're obviously out of shot. If they had been in shot, if it was a really tight composition, or rather if the space was wouldn't allow me to keep the flash out of frame, then I could just have to position it so that I would have to remove it in post-production. Because the door was open, we then start to get an additional problem of highlights and reflections of myself and of the flash gun. Now, there weren't any reflections of me. I managed to work around that. But there was a slight reflection of the light, but it's very, very subtle. And that won't take much trouble just to take out if one of those shots is the chosen final picture. But it's just, you know, it's working quite well. Some of these wider shots, I kind of like the pose better. Tom's just playing his guitar. I suppose if you were to kind of put a story behind this, you know, it's, you know, this guy's there, he's parked up, the doors are open, what have you, and he's having a little play on the guitar. Obviously, it's not a performance, it's not all plugged in and everything. But, you know, that works quite well. There's sort of we picked out this maybe a couple of shots that we were really happier more than others with, so that worked quite well. Then I moved Tom and the amp across, so he's much further out from diagonally across to as we look at the frame into the more towards the bottom left hand corner. So you then start to get the front wheel showing. You get all of the badge in the front of the car. On the side of the door actually is a badge that references the eco nature of this car. But that's, you know, slightly different. Tom then is actually framed where he's sitting. He's framed by the open door, so you don't get that highlight because he's obviously blocking it. But it's almost like a ready-made frame, almost like a square, except for the fact that the top of the window slopes down, of course, as it would do towards the front of the car. But that was quite nice, just to frame it as a kind of secondary thing. Tom obviously is a sponsored musician and he works closely with manufacturers of musical equipment. And so very clearly in the corner of the amplifier that he sat on there, you get the brands, the name of the manufacturer of those amplifiers. So that's quite nice to have in there. I just let him get on with, you know, just having a tinkle with his guitar there, just, you know, playing. And he's, the danger is he started to get quite into it, so his facial expressions were not really what we're after. Musicians are notorious for not even pulling facial expressions deliberately, but just when, you know, when you get involved in the music, it's a bit like me with when I'm taking pictures, you know, you kind of get consumed by your excitement, the energy, whatever, on a shoot. Those of you that have seen Austin Powers, you know that he kind of is a prime example of that. It's very, you know, it's a very over the top kind of representation, but, you know, you can get quite excited. So Tom was, you know, doing his thing, and now and then I just said to him, okay, just hold it there. Don't do anything. Just sit absolutely still, what have you. I got him looking down towards the guitar, looking off camera a little bit. And that kind of worked quite well. So just looking at one of these pictures here, just going to bring up the preview just for this image. What will I need to do on here? Well, we've got the number plate on the car, so we might just remove the number plate. We weren't going to start unscrewing number plates, what have you. There's a highlight of the sun on the car, on the bodywork. Not too worried about that at the moment. That may well go. We shall see. I don't want to take out too much of all those highlights. The whole intention with this was to make it a slightly grittier picture. So the colours are quite the colours and the contrast, what have you, is quite gentle in this. I've done nothing to this picture. There's no in-camera tweaking. There's no kind of like additional contrast or sharpening or anything like that. I'm just starting from an absolute bare basics file. So a lot of you know that there's a process called HDR, high dynamic range. I don't particularly like that process. It really does, or rather it really can look very false. It's a certain look. Some people love it. It's not that it's a bad thing. It's just not something that I really use a lot. But there is a way of processing the images, a technique playing with the vibrance in the picture, and selective color channels where you can bring out, like, I can bring out the warmth and the red of the brickwork and the kind of the white and the purples and the pinks and the yellows of the graffiti there. The green I wouldn't want to bring out too much because it's already very vibrant, but I can pick those specific color channels to do that. So it was always the intention. That's why we picked this location. Tom actually recommended it. That we can get that coarse texture of all the brickwork and the contrast between the sleek lines of the car and then that brickwork and the old rusty doors and the unmade road. That's what I'm really looking at. So there's not a great deal that's going to be done to these pictures. Just checking the reflections, making sure there's nothing that I don't want reflected in the car. Behind me, behind the shooting position, there was a like an industrial estate with units there, all sorts of different businesses, but there was also trees kind of almost blocking that out, which is nice. So any reflections I can see, like in the windows and what have you, are just of the skyline with the trees. It's really nice. And again, if there was any slight sight of the buildings, we can always remove that, and that's not a problem. And just to finish off, we did go around the back of the car, and more just for Tom's use, because he's going to be doing a write up about this car, because he's actually got it on loan for a few days just to use it as a vehicle to ferry him around to rehearsals, to gigs, and all this sort of thing. He's obviously wanting to check how much space is in the back and practicality and all this sort of thing. So we just set up the Tom sort of as if he's loading something into the back of the car. He's got his guitar and a case lent up against the back of the car, putting a case in there and his amp. Used one flashlight just to throw in a bit of light, because there's very obvious shadows where, although the sunlight was basically directed straight towards him, where the door was up above him, it was casting a shadow down onto him, and it wasn't very attractive. So I just had, again, half power, a flash there, just throwing a bit of light up towards towards Tom, but slightly angled up towards the open door, but being careful not to have any shadows then being projected up onto the door, which is clearly above him, and that obviously wouldn't have made any real sense. For those of you that are really into the technical and into the kit aspect, the camera's handheld for all of these shots. The stands that the flash were on were Manfrotto stands, and they were the very small and lightweight nano stands. There wasn't much of a breeze, actually. I did take some sandbags to make sure that everything was rooted down. The only thing that I did weigh down with a sandbag was Gitzo Series 2 Traveler tripod, which had my... That had a video camera on it. I think I'm right in saying. Let me think. No, that had a video camera, which was just a very small, lightweight point-and-shoot thing. But I had a second tripod, which had the D800, and I just weighted that down with a sandbag held underneath, and it was just rooted in position just behind my shooting position. There was another camera set off to one side and from behind, which showed pretty much the whole of the set, the car, Tom, and me on occasions. But because we're doing a time lapse, it's going to be it's going to be quite a short thing. So it wasn't a long shoot, but it just shows that detail of the setting, just to give you guys an overview of what was going on. So that's pretty much it. Of course, if you've got any questions about anything that I've discussed, whether it be collaborations or shooting work for yourself or working with musicians or other photographers or other creatives, or how to find locations or anything like that, you can always ask me. One thing that I do encourage is, if you guys are on Twitter, you can use the hashtag QA500, and with that I will see your question and I will write a specific short 500 word post on the Active Photographer website, where it cuts out all the mumbo jumbo and it just in 500 words gives you the answer that you want. Those have been really popular. They continue to be so. So I'm going to carry on with those. And even if it's not about this particular shoot or this kind of setup, if you've got anything else within photography or freelancing or even my writing activities or ideas generation, anything like that, you can always ask me, hashtag QA500. That, I think, just about wraps it up. So for now, I will leave it there. Like I said, there will be a behind the scenes video coming soon, so do keep an eye out for that. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.